from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will be rocking with you until four. I imagine, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I imagine their show is going to be a lot about the pop-out concert last night in Inglewood. I'm just guessing. Like I said, I'm not in show prep for them. I don't want to put anything on them. I would just assume that's what they're going to be talking about today.
Okay.
No, I assume it'll come up during the handoff.
No, that makes sense to me. It does. It does. It makes sense that they're going to have a discussion about that, which is good because I'm not here today and would just get lost in the discussion with them.
Sure.
You know, so it's okay.
Good. All right.
Yeah. I did not get hung up watching it last night.
Oh, I did. It was great.
Yeah.
There's a new tap room, a mile from my house, maybe a mile and a half.
Well, that's dangerous.
And I wanted to, it opened last Friday. I hadn't gotten to go over there yet. So I was like, oh, it's a perfect day. Wife is going to be out of the house. So I'll just go down and kill time and hang out over there. And then the concert started and I was like, all right, I'll watch this for a little bit. And then ended up watching the entire thing. It was so fun.
That's wild.
Yeah. Had a great time. Eventually made it over to the tap room. Great spot. Good vibes.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. We've been talking about the Kings offseason. We talk a lot about the 13th pick, and we talk a lot about Malik Monk. The 13th pick is the Kings' first round selection. They also have number 45 in the second round. And then we know Malik Monk is their highest profile free agent. We should talk about what else is on the table.
Yeah.
We just talked a little bit about the first round picks. And how convoluted that can get if they trade back and they acquire a future pick. Now they can trade this pick and that pick. Let's start here. Free agents outside of Malik Monk. We've got Alex Len. We have JaVale McGee. And we have Kessler Edwards. And that's it.
Okay, yeah. The free agents. Len, McGee, Kessler.
That's what I said, right?
And Malik. Yep.
And Malik Monk. Right.
That's it.
Okay. That's nice. That's a good place to be.
Yeah, yeah.
What else do they have asset wise?
Okay, so
outside of the 13th pick.
On top of that, I think the number one, they have the 27, the 29, the 31 access to those three picks.
No matter what.
Well, the 27, you have to put an asterisk because you might lose your 26.
Brutal.
It's one of those things. But you still have the opportunity.
That's going to make it hard to make a deal then, right?
Well, those deals are going to be weird either way. Because those are all-in moves. Because if you're going to trade, just stick with me here. If you're going to trade a 27, 29, and 31, you can't protect them. I mean, you can, but they can't roll over in protection. So that means that you can't do like a top three protection in 2027 And if not 27, you get to 28.
Yeah.
And it's unprotected because if you're going to trade every, you can only trade out 7 years,
mm-hmm.
right? So 31 is the furthest out you can trade.
Got it.
So again, if you're trading 27, 29, and 31, there's no way to give somebody something extra after 31.
So those are all going to be unprotected.
Most like, well, that's where I would say those are like such all in deals, right?
Right.
So you could trade a 27 and a 29, but leave protections mm-hmm. in them and have them slide. So if it's top 10 protected in year one or top four protected in year one and not protected in year two, and then the next one be the same thing.
Oh, I see. I see.
It could push
okay.
it back,
got it,
right?
Got it. Okay.
So you could trade a 28 and a 30. Or a 27 and 29 with protections, which could become a 28 and a 30. So it is dizzying. So you have that. But then on top of the, you have free agents, which you can't trade and do anything mm-hmm. else with at this point. Even like the Monk, people ask about Monk, like, can you sign and trade Monk to somewhere else? The answer is not really, because if you can only offer Monk $17.4 million
mm-hmm.
and you would keep Monk for that price.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like you have bird rights and you could sign him for $32 million and trade him to someone else mm-hmm. for a player to come back, right? But on top of that, you do have a bunch of expiring contracts, and you can look at these players any way that you want, but Trey Lyles has an $8 million expiring contract. Sasha Vezinkov has a $6.7 million expiring contract. Davion Mitchell is $6.5 million. Chris Duarte is at $5.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. You have basically $27 million in expiring contracts, and mm-hmm. that's not a bad place to be. So it's not something that you always want to have a bunch of expiring contracts and all that stuff, but now you have some assets that might look intriguing. So mm-hmm. again, Brandon Ingram makes $34 million or whatever it is this year. You could piece together a deal with expiring contracts where they're not taking on money past this year.
Mm-hmm.
They could even waive a couple of those guys and free up more money for themselves, like, and stretch provision them, especially with cap going up.
Sure.
So expiring contracts mean something. And then on top of that, you have two guys in Barnes and Herter that make a combined $35 million this year and like $37 million the year after. They're mm-hmm. both on 2-year deals. Barnes is at 18 and 19 million, so $37 million over 2 years. And of course, Kevin Herter is at like 16.8 and 18.6, something like that. So both of those guys have reasonable contracts, is roughly mm-hmm. $72, $73 million in contracts that you might be able to send out in a trade or multiple trades.
And you can bring in double that.
No, with players who make over $7.5 million, I believe $7.75 million, you can add. I think it's, oh shoot, is it $8 million or $10 million? I'd have to look it up.
But that doesn't aggregate, right? So $2 $6 million deals, Duarte and Mitchell.
Yeah,
you can bring back 200% of $12 million.
Yes. Well, like, that's how it was explained to me by a front office personnel.
Sure.
That you could trade $2 $6 million players in aggregate. So basically they're $2 $12 million players, and both of them you can trade for up to 200%.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who told me that might be incorrect, and it might be if you trade two of them. Well, it's way more complex than that, because in the league, there's something called simultaneous and non-simultaneous trades. So there are, and even when you look at a trade,
mm-hmm.
It looks like three players for three players or three players for two players.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like a 1-for-1 and a 2-for-1. And then that way a team can create two separate trade exceptions out of a deal.
Sure.
So again, so if you trade two guys that equal $12 million, but you trade them for a $15 million player,
okay,
the team that has those guys going out can creates a $3 million trade exception, right?
Huh.
So there are all of these ways. So again, multiplayer trades are usually multiple trades within one package,
right,
that looks like one trade.
Right.
But they're broken up in way, way more complicated ways than that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well then,
There's even the fact that, like, look, the 13th pick in this year's draft is $4.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money for a 13th pick, right? Mm-hmm. The money for rookie skill keeps going up. You can draft that player and then trade it before you sign him. You trade him and he acts as like a zero. Like, he doesn't act as any dollar amount as he's going out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? Until he's signed a contract, he's just the rights to a contract.
Right.
Right? But if the Kings have him under contract and they have 150 in dedicated salary at this point, there's a cap hold for $5 million bucks for that number 13 pick. It puts him all the way up to like 155 million. If you give Malik Monk 17.4 million, 55, that's 172.4 million. You're now above the luxury tax. So, like, this is all super, super complicated. And that's why, again, there's multiple options, multiple whiteboards, multiple, like, how far are we in?
Mm-hmm.
What is the all-in player?
Yeah.
And not only that, but, like, we were going to talk about Pascal Siakam got all this money, crazy money.
Talking about that next.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you have to do if you're going to trade for Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different situations, and like, which player would you rather have on that type of deal?
Sure.
So we'll get into that next.
All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. Everybody's favorite radio segment coming up next. We see you on the line. We will get to that. We'll also have Good Idea or Bad Idea as well on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yay, we're back.
And we're back.
He's James, I'm Kyle. My head is still spinning from all the Kings draft picks, trading, salary dumps, and new CBA, all that jazz.
Okay.
But just... Can't wait to read what you have to say about it, because I will be able to track that a lot easier than trying to follow it in my head, for sure.
Hmm.
Check it out at thekingsbeat.com. Hey, it's time for everybody's favorite radio segment. It's time for Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what do you got for us?
What's happening, Kyle, James? How are things?
It's going great. What do you got?
Okay. Well, first of all, sorry for William Hayes, one of the best players, hands down.
Yeah.
William Hayes, you know, they got it. McCovey covered it, and they got a stash for him. Willie Mays and Willie McCovey, best tandem pairing. They batted behind each other. I think McCovey batted behind Willie. I think it's the best in baseball in ever in 100 years.
Wow.
They're the James and Kyle of baseball. You know those two guys?
Yeah, no, great call. Love that, Mitch.
You know what hype I'm going to mention? Sorry, I mentioned his name about a dozen times. But I would love to have Dillingham. You know, you got to make sure you want to build 10 deep. So when your starters are playing, are resting, you have a good team on the court. If it's not Dillingham, I know it's impossible, but Reed Shepard, another Kentucky guy, love to have him. Thanks for taking my call.
Awesome. Thanks, Mitch. Mitch, deep in the NBA draft. Yeah, Reed Shepard's going to go early, right?
Who knows in this draft? we don't know the top five.
Sam Vecenie had Klingon going one.
Okay.
Which I hadn't seen.
Yeah. That was a couple of weeks ago. I saw a little bit of that, but like Risa Shea, Alex Saar is like falling. It looks like all of it's confusing. And even, who's the kid that we talked about towards ACL?
Oh, Topic. Nikola Topic.
Topic, like he might not even fall out of the top 10 despite the injury.
Crazy.
Just because he's 6'7". A 6'7" point guard. Yeah,
the Spurs are definitely drafting him at like 8, right? Like that's just a thing that's going to happen, and they're going to pair him with Wemby, and they're going to win like 15 titles.
Maybe. No, that makes sense. I mean, they do have 4 and 8, and there's rumors that they're trying to trade out of 4 and 8.
Yeah.
And again, I was looking
save some money.
Yeah, I mean, they're it's crazy how much draft picks are costing.
Yeah.
And to have two top 10 picks. Like they're, it's usually fine, right? You're usually like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But they go from a cap space team to like 8 million under the cap, and that's not a cap space team anymore because of the two picks.
All right, we've got Don on the line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
AKA Brandon.
Oh, hey, Brandon. Sorry, our call screener got it wrong. What's up?
I listened to all this stuff about the tax and all that. I know you don't want to get into luxury tax, but off the top of your guys' head, do you remember any team making it deep in the playoff without going into the luxury tax?
Good question. Thanks.
I
can't imagine Oklahoma City was in the luxury tax this year.
I also
don't, said deep in the playoffs.
I think Indiana was not in the luxury tax.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
was Minnesota probably is.
Yeah, Minnesota's. They're right on the brink of it. It's a good question. Even Dallas, I don't know, is like super super deep into the luxury tax. Yeah, Dallas was at 167.6 million.
Yeah, it's
8
like
million.
Luka and Kyrie and everybody else.
Yeah, and I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what. I don't have it in front of me what the luxury tax was for this year.
Mm-hmm.
So 168-ish is probably the luxury tax range.
Because
mm-hmm. this coming year is at 171, I believe. So, yeah, it's complicated. Again, like there are teams that are able to skirt around the tax. They're able to make moves at the last second to get underneath the tax and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be as a repeat offender. That's usually where things start to multiply and get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Minnesota is going to be a tax. Is going to be a tax.
I'd be shocked if they weren't.
Oh, their salary for this year is 166.4. We saw just recently
the tax is 165.2 according to Secure and DeMunk.
Okay, so that means that it's possible Minnesota at 166.4 was over, but they might even have an exception for one of their players, like whether it's an over certain
sure.
age
sure.
exception.
Here's I think the crux of what Brandon was talking about.
Yeah.
I think the Kings might have to go there. If they're going to be make a deep playoff run, I think they are going to just have to go into the luxury tax. Not way over it, not into that second apron or anything insane like that. But it feels like over the next 2 or 3 years, like that's kind of the direction they're headed. And if they're not, if ownership is like, nope, no, that we are not paying the luxury tax, no chance, then yeah, I think the Kings might be at a ceiling a little bit. But I think that there is a way that they can put together a contending roster, a championship contending roster, if they are willing to dip into the tax a little bit.
Yeah, I think dipping into the tax and then hitting the first apron is at 178. The second mm-hmm. apron is, I think, 189,
sure,
something like
sure.
that. You do not want to touch the second apron.
Yeah, that's bad.
No, that's not good at all. But the first apron, but I would also like caution people that if you're looking at like what the King's salary cap looks like today versus what it could look like down the road,
mm-hmm.
that's two totally different things. Like, mm-hmm. because, again, we talked about they have $27 million in expiring contracts, right?
Right.
And guys that, and you can say, well, Trey Lyles isn't an expiring contract. It's like, yes, but he is. Like, he has 1 year left on his deal. So, like, you have all this money that's tied up in short-term deals.
Mm-hmm.
So that money's going away next season. Now, you might bring some of those guys back. You might not. But that's also a way that you just save $27 million. We talked about the combination of Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes.
Sure.
And as of right now, I think they're $36 million this year, $38 million the next year.
Mm-hmm.
After that, their salaries drop off the books. And so your salary comes back down. Now, if you trade them,
mm-hmm.
you're clearly going to like maybe extend out that money, right? And that's where you see the rules in place about how much money you can take back in a trade and all that stuff. It's also why you want your trades to be virtually like even. You mm-hmm. want them to be close to even, so then that way you're not taking on a whole bunch of extra money down the road.
Sure.
But there is a possibility, like with Pascal Siakam, it got traded midseason to the Indiana Pacers, and he, like, whether he had an issue with the Kings or not, like there's some reporting on that today mm-hmm. that he didn't want to sign with the Kings because he didn't like that they were kind of trying to knock his price down for what he might make this mm-hmm. offseason. And then what's the deal that he got? How much was it?
$189.5 million.
Over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy talk.
It's a lot of money.
It is. It's a lot of money for a guy who is, what, 30?
Mm-hmm.
But if the Kings were to do something wild, like go out and get Brandon Ingram. You're looking at the same exact contract. The extension would have to be the same. And that's why the Pelicans, one of the reasons why they're trading him, or like allegedly are looking to trade him, the problem that they have is that they have a young player that's coming up that is going to eat some of those minutes, mm-hmm. and he's going to be cheaper because he's on his second NBA contract, not his third NBA contract. The third NBA contract for Brandon Ingram is starting salary of $40+ million a year.
Yeah.
Going up, we're talking about the same exact extension or around the same extension that De'Aaron Fox is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going all in on a player like that, you got to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a 30-year-old Pascal Siakam, who has been reliable throughout his career. He had one season where he missed some games, but like overall, he's relatively reliable,
mm-hmm.
versus a 26-year-old Brandon Ingram. I'm taking a flyer on a 26-year-old over a 30-year-old and NBA standards.
Easily.
And hoping that it works out, not knowing whether it's going to work out or not, but you know, sure. that's what you're hoping. And the fact is, if you were to give Brandon Ingram max money, he's almost 27, but we're talking about his 27-year, 28, his 29, prime. And 30.
Yeah.
His prime. And if it doesn't work out or you got to splinter this thing up, teams are going to take Brandon Ingram at a $40 million to $45 million sure. range. They will, unless he just completely falls off or has a catastrophic injury. Mm-hmm. They would take him where Siakam at 30, 31, 32, 33,
mm-hmm.
maybe you can't find a buyer at 50 million bucks in his final year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find somebody who would take on that
right.
money.
You have the Brad Beal deal now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. It's all complicated.
And just to bring this back to the luxury tax aspect of this, you bring up Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
You have Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. Ideally, fingers crossed, Keegan Murray making a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly Brandon Ingram too. That's four dudes.
Oh, and if you want to retain Malik Monk.
Sure. That's another one. Okay. Where if he keeps playing well, you're going to have to pay him more than 17.4 in the next couple of years.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about is the caller asked, has the team ever made a deep playoff run without being in the luxury tax? The answer is yes. It can be done. For the Kings, though, I don't think that they can construct a roster with what they have right now that is going to get to that championship caliber where they're going to the conference finals or going to the finals without being a luxury tax team.
I would agree with you.
Like, that's kind of the crux of it.
Yeah, you're right there, but it doesn't mean you have to be a luxury tax team this year.
Sure.
You just have to know that you're going to be a luxury tax team.
Yes.
And the I guess sort of the tipping point is how good are you versus mm-hmm. how much you have to spend? And is there mm-hmm. a way for you to take a jump and become way better and become a true contender
mm-hmm.
by taking some huge leap, because you're going to get a lot of that money back
mm-hmm.
if you do take that leap by going further and further in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's most NBA teams don't break even until the end of the first round.
Yeah.
And so the Kings, like as a team, for the most part, they haven't broke even for many, many years.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
All right. Let's get mad at some player rankings and let's do some good idea or bad idea next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. The handoff, one of DLowercase, will be in about 15 minutes. I want to stick around for that. Let's do good idea or bad idea and then get mad at some NBA rankings.
Yes.
Good idea or bad idea, something we do every day. We take three stories that we're not going to dive all the way into and decide whether that thing happening in the world is a good idea or a bad idea. Number one, Charlie Woods has qualified for his first USGA event. Charlie Woods following in his dad's footsteps. Good idea or bad idea?
Man, this is so tough. It's not a bad idea.
It's a great idea.
I hope it's a good idea. I watching Tiger from like when he's such a little kid to where he who he became, and sort of the trials and tribulations of Tiger Woods that are well documented, it really, really feels like like stardom at such a young age. He's a version of a child actor, and like it really has hurt who he's been as a person. And so I hope that Tiger is the supportive dad and gets him through all of this. It's a tough one.
That's why that is what everything I've seen is that's exactly what Tiger is.
I hope. Yeah, yeah.
And if you're going to pursue a golf career, having the resources that Charlie Woods is like 12 years old and he's played Augusta. Come on, man.
He probably owns like five courses himself.
You're right, dude. He's chilling. He has all the resources to be great at this thing. And by all accounts, he loves golf. He's not doing this because his dad is pushing him into it.
Yeah.
So, man, if you are an athlete's kid and you love that sport and you want to do that thing and you want to lean on your parent as a resource, then 1,000% do that.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope that it all works out for them.
Yeah, same. Number two, we just talked about him, Pascal Siakam, according to reports, is getting a $189.5 million max contract from the Pacers. Good idea or bad idea?
I have such a hard time believing he's going to live up to that contract.
But
if you're the Pacers, you have to sign it.
I was going
to
say, this is a good idea for the Pacers because you traded for the guy. You can't now not.
Yeah, you're in.
Half of your rental.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good idea because you keep your core together and you made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah,
and
he was good in the playoffs.
Pascal Siakam and Nembhard and they have a couple of other guys, Mathurin. Mm-hmm. They all have like a higher ceiling than what we're seeing right now. So yeah. As long as he can stay at or near where he's at as a player, sure.
And Mathurin wasn't even healthy in these playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you. It was my big sticking point on the Kings trading for him. It's like, you see the vision, I get the idea, but also, if I'm making a pros and cons list, I think the cons list might be longer than the pros.
Yeah, there's a big difference between Siakam on like a 4-140, like $35 million a year, and Siakam on a 4-190. The extra $50 million is...
It's a lot.
Again, that's a $13 million player every year, basically. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot. All right. Good idea for the Pacers, because you had to do this. I think the bad idea might have been trading for him to begin with, but you can't even argue that because they went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, why not?
right. Number three. The Pistons fired Monty Williams. in the middle of June. Said, actually, you know what? We're not going to move forward with the head coach.
It's just such a bad idea when you did it.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you gave him all that money. He's a year in. Like, could you not have rehabilitated what was happening?
I don't hate the idea of firing Monty Williams.
Okay.
I don't know why it didn't happen April 15th.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bizarre point here.
I need to know. We talked about this earlier extensively, but I need to know what happened. Something happened. Some event happened.
Yes.
Whoever it is making these decisions for the Pistons didn't wake up yesterday morning and went, oh, wait. Oh, we can't pay. We got to fire Monty Williams. He's got to go. That's not what happened. So what happened that led to that? I am fascinated to know. And I hope that whoever's out there covering the Pistons gets to the bottom of it. And maybe
absolutely
it is just
wild.
Maybe it is just as simple as they were going through draft and free agency prep and they're like, man, this guy sucks. Like, we really don't want to be around this dude. And that was the end of it.
I guess.
But
it's possible he was just extremely difficult, or it's also possible that they switched their general manager and he looked at Monty Williams and said, that is not the guy I want leading my team forward. So.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah.
All right. Bad idea by the Pistons. All right.
Yeah, wild.
The Ringer NBA top 100 rankings that they update throughout the year. The final rankings are out. Let's get mad about it.
I just feel like we should like just be angry because of this.
Okay, well, let's start at the top five.
All right.
Top five, in order. Nikola Jokic, number one. Luka Doncic, number two. Who do you think is number three? You have it in front of you. Never mind.
I don't. Giannis?
Shea is four.
Okay.
And then Jason Tatum is five.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
I think I'm good with that top five, particularly because Jason Tatum's team just won a title.
Yep.
And that's always going to get you a little boost. Like, what you do in the playoffs just matters so much.
I agree.
And he was very, very good in that closeout game. I thought he was going to win finals MVP. He did not. He led the team in points, rebounds, and assists in the playoffs.
Okay.
And in the finals.
Probably should have won an MVP. But that's okay.
I'm with you.
Like... It's
yeah,
okay.
Is he the best U.S. born player right now?
Yeah, probably. Although I don't know how long he'll hold on to that. But yeah. that's a really good question. Like,
yeah, it's like at this point today, if you're drafting players today, are you taking Jason Tatum over Steph?
Yeah, today.
I think I am.
Yeah, too. Yeah. If I'm building a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because
there's
of
just
the
so
age.
Much. I mean, there's just.
Yeah, I mean, Steph is still incredible.
Yeah, he's number seven, by the way, Steph is.
Okay.
So it's not like he's way behind Jason Tatum.
No, that makes sense.
I just think when you look at what he does defensively and then what he does offensively as a playmaker and then as a scorer when they need it, he's just, I think right now he's the best U.S.-born player. Steph right there, Anthony Edwards right there. I think Kevin Durant's still in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Tatum right now. When you just won a title, you just kind of get the benefit of the doubt for me.
Yeah.
Talk to me in September. We'll see how I feel. And the rounding out the top 10, Joel Embiid 6, Steph Curry 7, Anthony Edwards 8, Kevin Durant 9, Anthony Davis 10. I must be missing something with Anthony Davis. I've decided maybe I'm just a hater. Maybe I don't know ball. I just don't. I see it on occasion. When Golden State played the Lakers in the playoffs 2 years ago, the Lakers won in six. There were like three or four games where you went, wow, Anthony Davis is unbelievable. He is affecting shots at the rim. He's scoring from all over the court. Wow, what a player. But then there's going to be two or three games where you watch him and you go, this guy? This is a top 10 player?
I think we're jaded because Domantas Sabonis just like... just crushes him.
Just stuffs him in a locker every time they play. Yeah,
every single time. So I'm looking
Maybe
at
that's
his stats.
It?
Like for his career, this isn't just last season. Last season, he averaged 24.7. He's 24 points per game for his career. He averaged 12.6 blocks, rebounds per game last year. 12.6.
Right.
10.6 for his career. 24 points and 10.6 rebounds is nuts.
He's awesome.
3.5 assists, 1.2 steals, 2.3 blocks.
Come on.
He does shoot 27% from three. And he's a 29.7% shooter from three over his career. And the last 4 years is 26, 18, 26, and 27% from three.
Oh, those are percentages, not points.
No, those are percentages. Like, yeah, he has taken, like, he never did quite get there.
And that's, and like, DPOY is in there and all defense. I think he's first team all defense this year.
He's first team all defense. He's second team all NBA. He was fourth in defensive player of the year. Of course, he made the all-star team. All of these things.
God, that's it. It's like when you say all that, take the name, face, team, eyebrow away from it. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I see. That's a top 10 player for sure. He's averaging 24 and 12 with two and a half blocks and a steal and a half a game. Like, yeah, it's a top 10 player for sure. But then I just, I guess I watch because the Lakers are on TV a lot. So I watch more Lakers than I do like Hawks, but still not 82 games or anything crazy. And there are just so many times I walk away from a game feeling underwhelmed by Anthony Davis. But then the body of work says, yeah, hey, that guy's a top 10 player.
It's crazy. I'll tell you, I've had him in fantasy basketball the last 2 years because I got stuck with him in a keeper league that I inherited. And he is incredible as a fantasy basketball player. Like,
yeah, you're just read his stats.
You're hoping your guy, like a good player, scores like 35 to 40 points per game.
Yeah.
Multiple times. Probably double digits, maybe even 20 times this year. He scored 100 points or more for my fantasy team. And I was like, are you kidding me? Single-handedly wins you a week.
That's insane.
And you're just like, I can't believe how many, what he does. So maybe? Okay, who's number 11?
Number 11 is Jalen Brunson.
Wow.
Too high?
Well,
I would have said that's too high until I watched him in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And now I'm just all in. I'm a late arriver to the Brunson hive.
You are a late arriver.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here. I hope you have jackets.
That's really high, though. I mean,
awesome in the playoffs.
I think he was awesome, too, but who are you putting him above? Let's hear 12, 13, 14, 15.
12 is LeBron.
Okay.
At 39. 13 is Book. 14, Kawhi. 15, Jaylen Brown.
Okay, so Kawhi's a little... Devin Booker.
Booker was 13. LeBron is 12.
Okay.
Are you taking Jaylen Brunson over Devin Booker?
Yes.
I think I am too.
Yeah.
Over Kawhi?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It, over whatever version of Kawhi this is.
Well, yeah, just because Kawhi can't stay on the court.
Which matters.
Having him in the top 15, is crazy.
And Jaylen Brown?
That's
where it gets dicey for me.
15 feels like, okay, that's not bad.
Right. I don't hate that spot for Jaylen Brown, but then I'm like, man, would I rather have Jaylen Brown or Kawhi Leonard? I think I'm taking Jaylen.
Yeah.
Would I rather have Jaylen Brown or Devin Booker?
Oof. Okay.
That one's tough.
So we have not come across the Sacramento King yet, and we're at number 15.
Correct. Number 16, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
17, Victor Wembanyama. Already a top 20 player in the league. Mm. I want to be mad and I want to hate it. I don't think I can.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have a tough time keeping him out of all NBA this season.
The remarkable thing was you and I were sat next to each other at the Kings Spurs game here in Sacramento. And or Victor Wembanyama's debut here in Sacramento. And you and I both kind of walked away like, yeah, there were really impressive plays, but man, you can tell at times he is a rookie.
Oh, how many bad jump shots, how many off balance,
just
like
right, poor decision. But again, it's stuff you expect from a rookie. Yes. It's not a knock on Victor Wembanyama. And then throughout the season, watching him over the second half of the year just figure it out during his rookie season, not in the off season. Not like, oh yeah, he watched a bunch of film and he got in the lab and put in a bunch of work. Like, no, he's just this basketball supercomputer downloading the league and figuring it out as he goes.
Yeah, so people, like 21.4 points, 10.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists.
Say the blocks, do the blocks.
1.2 steals, 3.6 blocks. And he shot 32.5% from three-point range. You know who he is who... Everyone thinks Anthony Davis is.
Nah.
I'm just saying. Like,
Yeah, AD has a much longer track record, but yeah, dude, he. I hate talking about Victor Wembanyama because it's like everybody knows, like everybody's there. Everybody, there's not a single person who's like, guys, I don't see it yet. Everybody sees it.
I want to see what he looks like at age 25. I want to see how good he is, and I really hope as a basketball fan. Mm-hmm. That the injuries, like, yes. Somebody sit there and do some like some voodoo stuff, like protect this dude at all costs. I want to see what prime Victor Wembanyama looks like. I want to see if he's 40 and 18 and,
which is like on the table,
4 blocks and 2 steals and 5 assists and shooting 20 Man. Well, shooting like 37% from 3. I want to see if that's on the table.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just absolutely crazy how good he can be.
He's awesome. Yeah. Number 18, Tyrese Halliburton.
Okay.
Just ahead of Jimmy Butler at 19.
Okay.
We've got Jamal Murray at 20.
Okay.
We still haven't found a Sacramento Kings.
Okay, but see, those three in a row, I think, are all three too high at this point.
Yeah.
Just my opinion.
So on the Ringer, I think I agree with you. Yeah, I still think Tyrese Halliburton is awesome. I'm a big Tyrese Halliburton guy.
Yeah.
I have been since the draft, by the way. But I think a lot of people are still hung up on his first half. He just wasn't the same after the injury. And he's pretty inconsistent in the playoffs. Actively seeking to not be around the ball in big spots in the playoffs. And that, to me, knocks him down several pegs.
Yeah,
for me.
If you're going to trash Sabonis for having a couple of bad games in a 7-game series against a world champs where they easily could have won, then you have to take a couple of points away for the inconsistency that was Halliburton throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, man. And like, here's the Jimmy Butler blurb. Fine purveyor of coffee. Hustle plays, confrontational moments, and postseason heroics. And we've got him at number 19. Whew. Time for the handoff, by the way. Damian Barling in the building.
19 of what?
The NBA top 100 rankings, the final rankings for 23-24 are out. We're at number 19. We haven't gotten to a Sacramento King yet.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler at 19 feels high. Tyrese Halliburton at 18 feels high.
I'm more like with Jimmy Butler, I'm more like 28.
Tyrese.
Like 28.
We just ignore, like, Tyrese sucked for like 30 games.
Dude, that's what I said. Dude, no, that's why I said. That feels too high.
He was not good for almost half the season.
And then he disappeared at points in the playoffs?
Really, really good in the first half of the season. But, like,
I've never
seen the media grade on a greater curve than Tyrese. Like, the proper description of Tyrese was like, boy, those signs of like superstardom, they're right there. Like he showed at the beginning of this year, man, he could be the one. He's got to put it all together, him and Siakam. I'm a believer in him and Siakam. I'm a believer in this Pacers team next year. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like he wasn't good for long enough this year. And
I'm
I don't know why people are like this.
Do you know, both can
be true. He's very good. A superstar in the making, all of those different things, but he wasn't good for a massive stretch of the season.
Do you know why I think he's this high on this list and why people fawn over him so much? Is because his number one trait is passing and distributing, and it makes people feel smart when they can tell you how good Tyrese Halliburton is when he has 12 points. You go, but look at the floor game. Look at how he impacted the game. I'm a very smart basketball watcher. Tyrese Halliburton was the best player on the floor tonight because did you see all of his assists? That's why I think he gets rated so high.
Okay, but then why don't they rate Domantas Sabonis high when he averages 8 and he also leads the league in rebounding and he's averaging basically the same points per game?
Because I don't know,
he's
man.
Overrated.
Just saying.
Good point. Damian,
yeah, I don't know why they do that, but they'll tell you how great Draymond is because he had 7, 7, and 7.
Yeah.
Damn right. Draymond, by the way, is way down the list. I don't even think he's on the list. Is he on the list?
That's okay. Especially
yeah, he's 53.
All right.
Okay, who do we have at 21?
21. Let me get back down here. 21 is Zion.
Hmm.
Zion Williamson, number 21. De'Aaron Fox, 22.
All right, dude. All right, what? Who made this list?
You will never guess.
Yes, the Ringer. Who?
Yeah, the Bill Simmons site.
Okay,
but it's not our friend Stephen Ruiz, right?
No, I don't think it's Stephen Ruiz. I also don't think it's Kevin O'Corn Pops.
Kevin O'Conman.
Oh, Conman. Sorry, yeah, I always get his name
it's
wrong.
It's fine. Yeah, it's close. It's close, though. It's close.
I'm going to blame the call screener.
It's fine. Let's go.
There it is. Dawn.
Yeah, De'Aaron 22. And then Domantas Sabonis sits at number 26. He's behind Paul George, Bam Adebayo, and Kyrie Irving, just ahead of Damian Lillard and Lauri Markkanen.
All right, man.
I don't know, dog.
Whatever, dude. Like, y'all live your life. Y'all are the big, smart basketball guys. Y'all do your thing. Is this that really, like, ultra-confusing list where it's like tier 3, A1?
No, it's just 1 through 100.
Oh, it's just one. Okay, because they do that other list that's like, bro, you're a jackass just for putting this together.
Oh, the Bill Simmons trade value chart or whatever it is?
Anything that has Bill Simmons' name on it, I immediately think you're a jackass. But no, I don't think it's that. It's their rankings.
Oh,
and, but they rank him in like tiers, and then within the tiers, there are other tiers, and then within the tiers are letters.
Oh.
So it's like you're a tier 1-1B. But there's a tier 1-1A, and he couldn't get up to the tier 1-1A. Like, all right, man.
That sounds like you're taking notes in a history class.
Well, these
that sounds
these,
awful. I don't like that at like, all.
Keep going over.
These like, lists are goofy, and to say that Domantas Sabonis is 20-something and Tyrese Halliburton is 18 is ridiculous.
Man, it's they got Jamal.
That's the Athletic, according to NBA World Champion Jesse Tapia.
The Jamal Murray.
Well, I can't say anything bad about the Athletic or I'll get a text, so I'll just be nice.
Jamal Murray at number 20 is crazy.
Crazy. Like, Jamal is still graded on what people think he'll be.
And what he does.
And Jamal's very good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But Jamal Murray has, I don't think Jamal Murray's had a complete season yet. I don't mean in terms of health. I mean in terms of where you go, yeah. That's the man right there.
Until the playoffs start.
He's
hitting game winners and he's scoring 27 a night.
Yeah, because Denver won the championship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that helps.
No, they didn't. Like, Boston won.
Oh. I thought you meant last year.
No, Boston won the title. So sure. If we're talking about what Jamal Murray did this year in the playoffs, it doesn't matter because his team lost. They didn't even get to the finals.
Well, it's very clear there's a track record element to this as well. Like there's a history.
Yeah, if only Domas had made a couple of all NBA teams, maybe he'd move up on that list, you know?
For what it's worth, hang on,
back
let me
to
check.
Back.
Let me check. Let me
oh,
check.
He's made back-to-back all NBA. Oh, wow.
Hey, he actually
How about that?
This is gonna be my favorite part of this. On March 12th, Domantas Sabonis is 22. On April 10th, he was 24, and he finished the season at 26. Just boo.
He got worse.
He got worse.
Clearly.
All right.
I guess, man.
Damn, Domas.
Crazy.
Lay off the wine, man. Be a better ball player.
Yeah.
Jeez. There it is.
Yeah.
Stop going to the bottle rock. Stop and
yeah.
Worried about.
Hell yeah.
How
hanging out in
aged
Spain.
The grapes are. Worried about your kids. Jeez.
Okay, well, hang on just a second. The grapes don't
score
age.
More.
You don't age the grapes.
Oh. I don't know the wine. I don't know the wine process.
Just get super.
I just know
super nitpicky.
I like darker, bolder reds. I've learned that about
my
wine.
Man, come on.
My wine drinking.
You're a connoisseur.
Give me a bold red.
There it is.
That. A full-bodied red.
Or a that's crisp full-bodied. White. Which
you're not a buttery white, a buttery well, charred guy.
Depends on. Never mind.
Glad you said that on June 20th.
Yeah.
hey, what besides the pop out concert are you guys talking about today?
Man, it was I won. Wednesdays off suck. But yeah, like a lot happened between Monty Williams getting $78 million to coach a single season.
Good for him.
The passing of Willie Mays on Tuesday night. Siakam, yeah, there's a good, you know, our guys in the media, Matt George and the rest of those guys, he'll be with us later. He talked to, you know, they all talked to De'Aaron Fox, so we'll have mm-hmm. that sound from his basketball camp. So there's actually, shockingly, there is a lot to go over.
Can't wait.
But man, that pop out, that's still fresh in our minds. That was a phenomenal piece of business last night.
That was incredible.
It was iconic. Like if you sat through that, that was. That was a moment in music history last night.
Yes. I got chills just now.
Yeah, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Having Dr. Dre do the I See Dead.
Oh. All right. Oh. Anyway. James just tweeted about Malik Monk. Oh, it's his article.
Yep.
Subscribe to the Kings Beat if you would like notifications like that. Kingsbeat.com and the Kings Beat podcast, wherever you get your podcast. All right, that's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.